Lots in your face. We're going to talk this morning about water baptism. Now, let me just say right off the notes, right off the bat, there are some of you who have had a lot of different teaching about different perspectives, and we're going to do our best to nail down what the Word of God says about this. We're not harsh. We're not legalistic. We are not, we don't believe in baptismal regeneration. We're going to throw out some theology. We don't believe in baptismal regeneration where we say you must be baptized to be saved. No, how many know? And we'll rehearse this. But how many know you get baptized because you're saved? Okay? You get water baptized because you're saved. We're not Jesus only. We look to our Lord for what He teaches and how we obey. And we obey based on the Word of God. Now, the Word of God teaches us a very alive experience in the waters of baptism. It is not just religion and tradition. If that's what you've experienced, I urge you this morning, listen to the Word of God, because we're going to celebrate together the reality of what God does in His Word and what He gives. How many want everything Jesus has to give? I do too. So we're going to take a look at the Word of God. Now last week, as we started with genuine repentance, we understand God wants us in open fellowship with Him, like Adam and Eve experienced in the Garden of Eden. But because of their sin, we understand the Bible teaches us that each of us is born with a sin nature. A tendency, a propensity to sin. Anybody in this room? Let's see if I got the right crowd. Anybody ever been tempted? Okay, a few of you haven't. Then you may lay hands on all the rest of us. But because of Adam and Eve's sin, a sin nature was passed along to every one of us. A temptation, a propensity to yield temptation to temptation. Jesus paid the full price. This is right in your notes now. I'll try to zero you in. Jesus paid the price in full for the cost of sin. How many know the cost is bigger than what you and I can pay? Jesus paid it in full. Church, say it with me. Jesus is the only, I'm sorry, I think that might be your fill-in, the only Savior. Get it strong. Get it solid, church. He's the only Savior. The only one born of a virgin, became a man, bore your sins and mine on the cross, died, was buried, and rose again from the dead. Hallelujah! He's the only Savior. Now, Sherry and I have done what a few of you may have done. We were blessed to be able to take a very inexpensive short cruise. Anybody ever taken a cruise? Okay, we took a cruise. Now on a cruise, if you have had one, great. If you haven't had one, look for the real expensive ones. If you don't like the water, tough. I'm sorry. Yeah, no problem. But think of taking a trip, a plane flight, or going traveling, or whatever in a cruise situation. You pay a price. You show your ID. Each person is issued a card as proof of ID, and you have to show it, even for your meals. If you're not enrolled on the cruise, you have to disembark when the captain says, it is time for us to launch. And when we were there, heard the captain several times say, bottom line, get off the ship if you're not enrolled. He didn't say it quite that way, but he said, you got to get off now because we're pulling out. Remember in the scripture, Matthew 22, verse 12, there was a person who got into the wedding feast who wasn't wearing wedding garments. You recall? And they said, friend, how did you get into the wedding without the wedding clothes? And they escorted him away from the wedding. If you get off at port, if you're on a cruise, if you get off at a destination or a place where they're going to be for a day, you got to show your ship card and your passport to get off and get back on. If you went to college, I was a cougar. My wife wasn't, trust me. come to our place because two flags in our tree stump, one cougar, one husky. And they love each other. You can't get into college or wherever you go to school without proper enrollment. How many understand? You can't go see a doctor without doing proper paperwork. There's just no way. Now, somehow, here's the problem. With God, and this is in your notes, people think you can do anything and all will get into heaven. Say it with me. Not true. God's Word is the owner's manual. Would you hold up your Bibles for me, please? God's Word is the owner's manual. God's Word is the operator's manual. And God's Word tells us He is the only creator. He's in charge. He made us. He gets to say what's right or what's wrong. We try to recreate God in our image and come up with our own rules, and God says that's not the way it works. God is in charge. He is the one. And so what do we do in launching your faith? We try to understand what has our Creator, what has the operator's manual, the owner's manual, taught us about how to live with Him, how to cooperate with Him, how to get along. So when you're in, when you've gotten your passport, when you've done what He's called you to do, you can qualify for further growth. All you have to do is keep going back to the owner's manual, learning more and growing. But you have to have right foundations in order to get the growth. All right, so get your foundation right. Amen? Get the foundation right. So we want to drill down deeper, and I'm going to stick with my analogy. Here's a cruise ship called the Lure of the Seas. It's not the biggest now. It's the second largest in the world. You go, wow, man, what a ship. How did they get that thing built? Okay, well, let's think about it. You drill down deeper. Here's where we're supposed to go, right? Guess what that is? That's the engine room. But guess what? That's not deep enough, is it? You got to go down deeper. And they lay an astronomical keel in these ships. And the keel runs, it's a beam that runs the entire hull of the ship. Usually in the middle and at the bottom from bow to stern. And it serves as the foundation or the spine, the backbone. And it provides the major source of structural strength of the hull. It is strong because it's got to keep the ship from bending or flexing in the waves. In our spiritual faith, we have to have a strong foundation so we don't bend and flex and break with the waves of the world and the temptations that come. So God wants us to have a super strong foundation and support on which to build. So to launch successfully, crucial attention must be given to design, materials, and instruction and construction. Your ship has to be built with, say it with me, no shortcuts. And by the way, that might be your fill-in. It is. The word no. Look on your next fill-in. So attention's got to be given, and your ship's got to be precisely built according to design. How many know there's no right hand not knowing what the left hand's doing? They don't just build come say, come saw. It has got to be built just right with no shortcuts. Watch the scripture, Hebrews 6, 1 through 3. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on. Let us go on. Let us what?
Go on.
Again, let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment, and especially, this we will do, come on, if God permits. God's the one who permits. And He wants us to grow on. How many want to grow on in the Lord? All right, water baptism. What's next? You've repented. What's next in your foundational walk with the Lord? And we are going to celebrate the next step. Look at the scripture, Acts 2. 37 and 38. Now, if I go quickly through these, you have the references on your page in front of you. But the scripture says, remember, on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit was poured out. Peter stands up, preaches a sermon, and they are convicted. The Jews that were from all around the known world at that time were there in Israel at the time of Pentecost, a celebration, one of their great times. And Peter begins to preach to them about what Jesus has done and about how they've killed the Master. And the Scripture says they were convicted in their hearts, smitten, because the message was so on mark and their life was so off. And they say, "What do we do?" And Peter gives them the great tripod of faith, if you will. It's a tripod. He says there are three things. What must we do to be saved? Repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. A tripod of faith. Baptism. Listen, guys, this was no small deal. They had what they called ablutions. In other baptisms, you remember John the Baptist was out baptizing, and they had had things as they had major moves of God. They would find themselves being baptized again and different things. Anybody ever been to the River Jordan where you see there's a space there, a place there, where a lot of people get water baptized in the River Jordan? It's really an incredible time. And but Peter saying this to them was really traumatic for a Jew. Because baptism was a sign of conversion to Judaism. Listen to this. For those who were pagans, not Jewish in the faith. And Peter looks at the Jewish folks and he says, "You got to get baptized in Jesus." That demand would offend his hearers. It would cost them their respectabilities. Have any of you heard the stories of the rejection that comes to people who are not in Christian cultures when they give their life to Jesus and get baptized? The rejection of the others, or if they come from a Muslim faith into surrender to Jesus in Christianity, the rejection is a horrendous thing. And so they were saying, hearing Peter say, this is going to be a public testimony of your conversion, not a private non-committal thing, no big deal. But this is not a salvation with no conditions. This is a big deal. Getting saved is a complete life change. Somebody say amen. The Scripture says, all experienced. That's in your notes. All experienced. How do we celebrate the next step? We learn about it first. And they all experienced 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink of that spiritual rock. And that rock was Christ. They moved as one people, with a set of experiences common in their life. They were marked out as God's people. How many know God's not casual about His faith and His people? He's not casual. All passed through the sea. They went to the other side. The waters rolled back. You've seen it in the movies. Nothing like what it was to see it right up close and personal, I suppose. But they got through, went to the other side. The waters closed. The enemies drowned. Egypt, which is a type in the Bible of the world, the old life and sin, Egypt was drowned. The soldiers were drowned. Egypt was left behind. The waters came back. They were cut away from that, and they were in a new land. How many know we get into trouble when we do what Israel did, however? They got into the new land and missed the clothes, missed the food, missed the comfort, and they looked back, and it stole their life. Jesus is giving us a real clear understanding. The waters came down. The Egypt, the world, was cut away. And you're in a brand new life. Do you thank God that when you give to Jesus, you've entered a brand new life? That's what it's all about. A brand new life. Wholehearted change. But many chose to live as slaves, though God freed them. You can get out of Egypt, but you got to get Egypt out of you. I'm not talking about the natural country. Of course, it was natural, but it was the spiritual principle that Jesus was cutting off the old, and we have a chance to cooperate with God and embrace and celebrate the new life He's given us. Baptized into Moses, what does that mean? They were baptized in their spiritual head. How many thank God you're baptized into Jesus Christ? All right, so all experienced the power of transformation. That's on your notes. They all experienced the power of transformation. Not a religious tradition, but a transforming power that came to their lives. Romans 6, 4 and 5. I'm going to go back to that on the overhead. We were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. How many want a brand new life in Jesus? Sure, that's what it's all about. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Watch the new living. Now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with Him in His death, we also will be raised to life as He was. Thank God! Come on, thank God! Turn to each other and say, come on, thank God louder! Okay, so it's all about getting new life. It's a real experience. It's not a religious tradition. All right, what's the action of water baptism? What's the action? On your notes, you see it. You are immersed, submerged under water, separating you from the old life, identifying you with Jesus and His, what is it? All right, come on. Now we're going to hit a few tradition things. I love you. If this wasn't your tradition, I'm going to invite you on this journey to look into what does the Bible teach? All right? What does the Bible teach? It says full immersion. The very Greek word in the Bible is baptizo. Say it with me, Greek scholars. Baptizo. Baptizo. It means to make whelmed or fully wet. How can you get fully wet if you don't go in? That's the word burial and baptism is used. The root word here is bapto. Say it. Bapto. To whelm. To cover over with a fluid. To stain with dye. Ladies, how many have ever dyed anything? Unless you're tie-dyeing or sprinkling a little dye, if you're going to get that t-shirt to come out yellow when it was white, you gotta submerge it all the way into the dye, don't you? That's what the word is. The Bible shows that there was much water. Much water. Not sprinkling, not a small pouring. John 3:23. Watch the scripture. Now John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salem because there was, say it with me please, much water there. And they came and were baptized. Mark 1, 9 and 10. Again, you have the references to look up later if you'd like. Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water. I think it's in King James that actually says, coming up out of the water. He saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. All right? So the scripture teaches full immersion. All right, let's go on. What happens? The Bible literally teaches us that the sin nature is, say the word please, it's right in your notes. Come on, the sin nature is what? Now, it's not just a religious tradition. But you didn't all of a sudden become instantly perfect either. Turn to each other and say, I think you are, but I'm not yet. No, don't, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that yet. We still have room to grow, and that's why we get baptized. Because the sin nature, that temptation, the tendency, the propensity to sin is, the definition literally is, rendered powerless. Powerless. That's what the Bible says. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin, what does the Bible say? Might be destroyed. King James. That henceforth we should not serve sin. The New King James. Our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin or sin nature might be, say it with me please, done away with. that we should no longer be slaves to sin. What's the purpose of that? That we don't have to be in slavery to sin out of the new living. So that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. So that sin might lose its what? Its power. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Someone say, thank God. What does it mean that it's destroyed? Your fill-in is right there. Literally rendered powerless. There's your fill-in, okay? Have they been too complicated so far to find? Powerless. Literally, the definition in the Greek here means to render entirely idle or useless. To make of no effect. Now, has anybody ever tried to spend a voided check? You ever get one of those little checks and you take it to the bank and you try to cash and they go, oh, I'm sorry, this says must cash within 90 days and it's 120 days. And you go, what do you mean? You mean this is useless to me? The answer is, yep. A void check is no longer legal tender, has no power, has no effect. It has been rendered entirely useless. There's your same theme. The water baptism frees you. Repentance and then be baptized. Your sin nature, the Bible says, is rendered powerless. It's something now you're free from its power. You're now free to live with Jesus. You're no longer a slave to sin. Thank God the whip has been taken out of the devil's hand when he was snapping it at your back, saying, do this, do this. You now have the whip in your hand. You're saying, get out in Jesus' name. Snap! There's a power transformation that Jesus has given us. What does it mean? Circumcision of heart. Say that with me, please. Circumcision of heart. Now I'm going to read Colossians 2, verses 11 and 12. You'll find this specifically in the Amplified Version. In Him, who's the Him? Jesus. You were circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, but in a spiritual circumcision performed by Christ. And watch what He does. By stripping off the body of the flesh, the whole corrupt carnal nature with its passions and lusts. Watch what it says. Thus, you were circumcised when you were buried with Him in your baptism. It's not just religious tradition. Jesus performs a spiritual surgery, renders powerless the sin nature, gives you a new tender heart to respond to Him. You are still tempted. We still face temptations. And there's your notes. It's right in front of you. You still are tempted, but the old is powerless. So don't pump new life into an old, and we might add the word dead, heart. Amen? Don't pump new life into an old dead heart. Israel kept trying to pump life back into their past when God had cut them off from it and put them in a new land. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, and Ezekiel 36. I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. What does that mean? Soft and tender and more responsive to the Lord. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. The Lord your God will, say it with me, please, circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, that you may what? Live. Okay, say it with me. Live. This isn't about death. This is about life. It's about coming alive. He's alive. Thank God there's a new life that He wants to give us. All right? So, next on your notes, who should be baptized? Come on, who are we talking about here? Who should be baptized? All who receive the good news, repent of their sins, and believe in Jesus Christ. All of us. who have taken those steps should be baptized. Now, what does that mean? It means they need to understand they're a sinner, that Jesus is the only Savior. There was a cost to sin, and Jesus paid that cost. They need to understand what repentance is, surrender to Jesus, faith in Him, water baptism. They need to understand what those things are. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So there's a need for some teaching before somebody gets water baptized. But they need to know they're saying goodbye to the old and yes to Jesus and what He has. The Bible says they came confessing their sins and they were glad to receive Him. Watch the scripture. In fact, it says those who gladly received His word were baptized. That day about 3,000 souls were added to them. How many think that was a party? That would have taken just a little while. Wouldn't that be fun? Be good to turn to Elaine. Keep playing the piano, Elaine, while we're ministering over here. There's only 2,800 to go. They gladly received His word. Come on, say that with me. Gladly received His word. We're not here to push anybody. What good does that do? We're not here to shove Jesus or His teachings down anybody's throat, but we're here to teach His people so we can go, wow, I want that. I want what He's got for me. I want everything He's got for me. It's good news. It's good news. Now, I'm going to talk to you just a moment without any offense intended toward people of a different persuasion. But baby dedication, christening, infant dedication. Please hear me and my heart. We respect and love people who in faith do that. But let me please identify. I did that with all of my kids. But please let me identify what that means. That is a dedication of the parents to raise the child in the way of the Lord. It's a commitment of the parents' faith. The Bible does not show baptism of infants. It doesn't show infant baptism. Now, if that's what people have experienced, praise God. It's a commitment. It's a dedication. And we should all commit ourselves and our children to the Lord. I'm not trying to offend anybody, but we've got to take a look and, okay, what does the Bible teach? What does the Bible say? An infant can't understand repentance. Repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Ghost. But the parents can. So God honors that. I believe with all my heart God honors that kind of dedication and that kind of commitment of parents and their children to the Lord. But simply don't call it infant baptism. It's dedication. All right? Now, what does the Bible teach us? We're saved by grace, then we experience baptism. We talked about it a while ago. This is not baptismal regeneration, a theological term that says you got to get baptized in our tank or you ain't going to heaven. If you don't get baptized, you ain't going to heaven. Well, no, wait a minute. Let's talk about this. We are baptized because we are saved. We get baptized, say it with me, because we are saved. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus. Then we follow Him into baptism. Acts 8, then Philip preached Jesus to them. Watch how it unfolds. Now as they went down to the road, Acts 8, 35 through 37, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Now watch what happens. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Not if you jump into the waters, that'll save you. But he's first of all checking and saying, if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is Lord, then you may be baptized as your next step. And he answered and said, I believe, say it with me, would you please, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe. And that's what leads you to your next step. Now, let's talk about salvation for a moment. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so he saw the eunuch no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. How many know that was a party that day? But what is salvation? What is salvation? Now, please hear me carefully. What is salvation? Salvation is a big word in the Bible and has a lot of meanings, but let's pay attention to what its component parts are. Justification. Just as if I'd never sinned. This is in your notes, you guys. Justification deals with the penalty of sin. How many know Jesus took the penalty for sin? So when I'm justified, when I give my life to Jesus, the penalty of the sin is dealt with and removed. Amen? You with me? All right. Then you have sanctification. That deals with the power of sin. Sin has power. You yield to it. People that have been addicted understand the power of sin. It doesn't matter what kind it is. It doesn't matter if it's drugs or sex or rock and roll. It doesn't matter. Isn't that how you finish that? Drugs, sex, rock and roll. It doesn't matter what it is. But temptation has a power. That's why Jesus renders it powerless. Then we have to cooperate with him, or we get to. But sanctification deals with the power of sin. How many know that Jesus keeps working with your life and mine day by day? Anybody this morning, before you even got to church, been convicted of anything? Know you needed a better attitude or whatever it might be? Okay. I'm the only one. Okay. Well, then what it means is day by day, he keeps working with us. And that's the sanctification process. He is called the sanctifier. Sometimes it feels like fire, doesn't it? The sanctifier. But the sanctification deals with the power of sin. Justification, the penalty, sanctification, the power. Glorification deals with the presence of sin. Someday, we will be in heaven with Jesus, and there won't be any more sin. Wow! Heaven's going to be great, isn't it? Turn to each other and say, I hope not to beat you there. We have loved ones who already have. They're in the presence of Jesus. They're not having to worry about this stuff. We're left here to live this out yet. And they're praying for us, I'm sure. But the issue of salvation, when you say, what is salvation? Well, there's three component parts. I was saved. I am being saved. Doesn't mean you have to give your life to Jesus, but, you know, if you need to do. But I am being saved as he transforms me, and I shall be saved. It's an ongoing, continuous action of daily walking with the Lord. Does that make sense? Mark 16:16 now comes along and says, he who has believed and is baptized will be saved. That's where people who believe in baptismal regeneration get that. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. All right. The issue there, by the way, is if you don't believe, you will be condemned. The Bible, the New Testament, links these two things. If you are saved on your deathbed, you might not be able to make it to water baptism. If you die in that state, how many know where you're going? In the arms of Jesus. You're dying in faith, you go right on to be the Lord. But if you live, the Bible says, follow on to the waters of baptism. A believer doesn't take an attitude that says, who cares? That's not a transformed heart. Because he says, repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Ghost. It matters. If I'm going to have a strong foundation, be the best Christian I can be like Jesus, I need to release his power in my life and receive it and walk it out. So baptism, in your notes now, church, baptism is your first step of obedience and cooperation with Jesus. And releases the grace. Releases the grace and strength for sanctification in your life. We go through fire sometimes as the Lord transforms us. He allows experiences in our life that causes us to see we're not quite in alignment with Him. Remember, I used the magnets last week. If the wrong ends are pointing at each other, they won't even come together. You turn the magnet ends around, they snap right together. Sometimes the Lord allows things in our life to show us you're not quite in alignment, Kev. And He gives us the grace and strength to be able to go through that process and say, okay, Lord, even if it's not easy. All right. How are we to baptize? To baptize. How are we to do this? After He ascended, let me ask you this question. Just be honest with me, please. Even if this isn't your tradition or what you may have been taught, we want to say, what does the Bible teach? We're non-legalistic, but if I don't teach what the Bible teaches, I'm in error as a pastor. After Jesus ascended, the disciples who walked with Him for 3.5 years, talked with Him, knew Him, knew His heart, knew His manner of living, went through the dealing, went through all of that. How many think the disciples were obedient or disobedient in how they carried out His instructions? How many think they were disobedient? All right. How many think they were obedient to Jesus? They were obedient. They were obedient to Him. Were they perfect yet? No. But they were obedient. And those 12 people, 11 and then 12 added back in, changed the world for Jesus Christ. They understood and they obeyed Him. Jesus said this, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Were the disciples obedient or disobedient? Acts 2:38, let's see what they did. Peter said to them, "Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." But when, Acts 8:12, they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Acts 8:14-16. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. It was a tremendous revival. But they had not yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For as yet, watch this though, he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been, please read it with me, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 19. And he said to them, "Into what were you baptized?" Paul finds certain disciples. They were believers on the road to Ephesus. Acts 19, 1 through 6 is your section here. They said, "Into what were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, breathe. Breathe. Take a breath. Some people go, "Oh, we're not going to do any rebaptism." I don't ever teach anybody about rebaptism. Some people think, "You want us to be rebaptized?" I don't want anybody to do anything except respond to the Lord in faith. And it's never a rebaptism. It's a more complete baptism. If you have not understood, the Scripture talks about a powerful, alive teaching of what Jesus does. There's more for you. Now, I know some of you think I'm a bit unusual. Let me just tell you my past. Not all of it, certainly. I was water baptized 3 times. By the way, a little trick you might know about me, if you never can figure this out, you'll see why I do this. I can't get my fingers to work right, so I go point one, point two, and then I go to point three. Because I can't do point one. Okay, so I was baptized 3 times. I was baptized when I was 14. I really had a movement of the Lord on my heart, walked down an aisle, got baptized, and it turned out I got wet. Because I was a worse sinner afterwards than I was before I got baptized. Then I was baptized again when I was age 18. when I really had a transformation at age 16. I got baptized again at age 18. Powerful experience in the Lord. Many years later, I then understood more. We understood more of what does the Bible teach. And I was water baptized a third time with a more complete understanding. And I got to tell you something. It literally changed my life. My wife and I, Gail, you never met her, finest Christian I've ever known, outside of Sherry. She and I, in our first 6 months of marriage, had a horrific first 6 months of marriage. I'm boisterous and loud. She wasn't. Guess what was filling the air? Me. But we were having a lot of trouble, and we kept ending up at our pastor's doorstep saying, will you please pray for us? We need help. When I was water baptized, with a real understanding of what Jesus does in water baptism, I'm here to testify to you, our marriage completely and wholeheartedly changed because Jesus changed me from the inside out. One of the most powerful experiences I've ever received. I'm not here to push anybody, but I am here to give opportunity and invitation. If there's something you didn't understand before and you understand it better, God gives opportunity for a more complete experience with a more complete understanding. Nowhere, nowhere in the New Testament, nowhere, you guys, now please don't throw a rock at me. Nowhere in the New Testament does it show them baptizing in the formula, the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It shows them obeying Him by baptizing in Jesus and the Lord Jesus, and I'm not Jesus only. I believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I love Him in all aspects of Him. But I have to look and say, what did they do? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are more titles or roles. I'm a brother. I'm a son. I'm a husband. But my name is Kevin. As you take a look at the Bible, the most complete name by which God is known in the New Testament and for baptism is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most complete name by which He is known in the New Testament. Father, you see, Father, the word Lord, used 8,000 times in the Old and New. Isaiah 42 says, I'm the Lord, that's my name. Jeremiah 16:21, therefore behold, I'll cause them to know my hand and my might. They shall know that my name is the Lord. Then Spirit, or a Son rather, when you've got the Son, clearly His name is what? Matthew 1:21, she'll bring forth the Son, you shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. And the Holy Spirit, the Greek is Christos, for Christ. In the Hebrew, it's Messiah, or, let me get you the correct pronunciation, Mashiach. Can you say that with me? Mashiach. That's the Messiah. Mashiach literally means the anointed one, and it refers in the Old Testament to the kings who were anointed or smeared with oil of anointing. Jesus received His anointing as the Christ at His baptism. Look what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon Him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He was born as His Son, but an anointing came upon Jesus as the Spirit of God came upon Him. Acts 2:36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Him. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Baptism in the name of the Lord. Let me just say it this way. Here's what we do. We don't get legalistic with anybody about this. The issue is, get baptized if you haven't been. Or let there be a fresh experience if you haven't been with what the Scripture teaches more fully, more completely. What do we do here? We baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? That's what we do. That's what we believe the Bible teaches. So we're not here to fight with anybody. We're not here to argue with anybody. We're here to give an opportunity for fresh growth to everybody. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Water baptism offers great benefits. Jesus declares you before His Father. Look what the Bible says. Therefore, whoever confesses Me before men, I'll also confess before My Father in heaven. We're now into your next section of your notes. He confesses you before His Father. As you get baptized, you're making a total public declaration of confession that Jesus is Lord. You celebrate the remission of your sins. The Bible talks about baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Sins, the word remission literally means sins being separated from the sinner. All right? So he removes your sins, but there's a point of contact, if you will, where it's clear that they're separated. And you discover that you are part of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. All right, what now? So much power, such great news, and new beginnings. That's water baptism. So what I'm here to do is ask you to ask yourself, am I hungry or needy for more? Have I received this? Do I have needs in my walk with Jesus? Could I use more strength and power in my daily walk with God? Have you been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for circumcision of heart by someone who had that experience and understanding? If not, there's something waiting for you. Does anything quicken in your heart? Jesus could do something for me. Hungry hearts follow Jesus. If you were baptized at age 13, if you were sprinkled as a child, wonderful. But there's something as a mature adult that you can receive from the Lord. Now, can I retroactively apply my new understanding to my old experience? Let me answer that really carefully. Why? If you got an IRS check back from the government. Now, hang in there with me. All awake? How many like getting IRS checks back from the government? If you got one back and you discovered they owed you a lot more, would you say, no, no, I'm fine? Would you? There's no need to retroactively apply teaching that you understand better to your old experience if you believe there's something more for you. A new understanding leads to a new and fresh experience in Jesus. That's what the Bible shows. Acts 19:5-6. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. They spoke in tongues and prophesied. They got new understanding and went for a new experience. The issue is, how much more can I receive? Not, am I fine? You're all fine. If you've given your life to Jesus, you're all fine. But is there something God wants to do? Again, I want you to understand clearly, it's not a rebaptism, but a more complete baptism experience in response to a more complete understanding. God honors your hunger for Him. What have you got to lose? Well, old habits, sins, compulsions, guilt, things that I wrestle with. What have you got to gain? Fresh growth. Fresh growth. Fresh victory, strength, freedom. Encouragement, new responsive heart for Jesus. Is there anything Jesus could do for you? We're sailing on in launching your faith. Jump into the river. If God's spoken to you this morning, jump into the fresh waters of baptism. In a couple of weeks, we'll schedule a time where anybody who wants to can get baptized. Now, typically what we do is we don't go out to the sound. I saw plenty of pictures online of people cutting open the ice for ice baptism. I thought, there's an idea. No, I didn't. We usually baptize in the hot tub. People go, yeah! But the issue is, what's God spoken to your heart? So as you look at the faith activator this morning, check or initial each box with which you agree. I understand that to have a faith alive in the 21st century means I believe Jesus is the only Savior. That's crucial, guys. That's where it all begins. The only Savior. And I've received Him as my personal Lord and Savior. Secondly, I understand that to have my biblical foundation right, I get to celebrate and experience a meaningful water baptism by immersion for circumcision of heart, which transforms my life. I get to do that. Third, I've experienced and celebrated a meaningful water baptism by immersion for circumcision of heart, date and location. Just write that in for us. Fourth, I've not been water baptized by immersion. I'd like to do so at the next scheduled GCC water baptism service. Fifth, I have been water baptized by immersion, but I've received new spiritual insights from this teaching. I want to experience water baptism with this more complete understanding at the next scheduled GCC water baptism service. Sixth, I have further questions about this teaching. I'd like for one of the GCC pastors or elders to call me so we can further discuss water baptism in my life, and my best contact phone number is. And seventh, I don't agree with this teaching on water baptism. Please do so agreeably. Feel free to explain your thoughts on the back page. And if you just print your name and date that. God is good, and we're here to help people grow as much as possible, as often as possible. How many love the Lord with us? How many want more of Him? How many are grateful to be alive in Jesus? All right? You understand the heart of what the Scripture is teaching this morning? All right. Then you can see Vernon Pat at the back or Pastor Sherry and hand those to her, and we'll get those back to you. But that lets us know if you have questions and need follow-up or anything.